Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. So last week, well, I guess it was 2 weeks ago probably, when we left off, we did an episode. How would you describe the correlation of this episode and the other one that you curated?
It's people striking back against the establishment.
Yeah.
Their local establishment.
There's something they have a real gripe about.
Yes, they definitely have some gripes, both of these characters.
Yes, perfect. That's a great way to say it. And they will go to great lengths. And I will say that the gentleman today went to great lengths to hit back at the small town that he felt wronged him. So not long ago, just in June of 2025, was the 21st anniversary of one of the more bizarre events of a person who felt scorned in a small town. Granted, there are many people that feel scorned, like we talked about in the last episode, but this one really felt like he committed, and he committed hard.
Yeah, I'd say he definitely committed. There was no turning back, but I don't want to give, parts of this away.
Yeah, you already knew about this story. Like, we drove through this town after your friend's wedding, and I was like, oh, let's listen to another podcast. I can't remember which one. I think it was Things You Should Know. Great podcast. I was like, I want to listen to something about the area. And we started listening to it. You're like, oh, I know this story. This story's...
Oh, yeah, it's infamous.
I had no idea. And that town is small. And he wrecked most of it. So this, my friends, is the story of the Killdozer. This is the story of Marvin Hemeyer, or Hemeyer, who terrorized the town of Granby, Colorado, who he felt very wronged by. And sources from this episode include Denver 7, CBS, A9 News, CBS Colorado, and other sources, because apparently it's very epic that you just randomly knew about it. Like, I feel like I'm on the pulse of this stuff, and I had no idea.
Well, I mean, this goes beyond true crime. Like, if you're not interested in crime, if you're just interested in football and burgers, like, this story still has something for you.
It's an insane one.
I mean, it's hard to do what he did, even in a video game.
That is actually... Sorry, I just got stopped in my tracks. That is a great description.
Well, I feel like that's how it feels. It's like, it's the only other place I've seen action like this, and I know a lot of people who like to take out their frustrations on the world in the, video game realm, and it's hard to do this much destruction even in a video game.
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy because we drove through the town of Granby, Colorado on the way back from Greg's friend's wedding.
Shout out Galupski.
In September of 2025. And yeah, like I said, I was just like searching for a podcast or something to listen to about the area. And it is a small town. However, if you look up videos of this incident, I don't want to give it away, but I just watched another one that I had not seen before. I get very freaked out by tsunami videos, because I'm very afraid of huge walls of water, and this is not that intense at all, but he really outfitted something that had intense destruction, not similar to a tsunami, but it really is taking some stuff out. This is the story of Marvin Hemeyer. So there are stories we tell ourselves because they're comforting. Stories where the villain is simple. Stories where the destruction feels justified. And then there are stories like this one probably one of the more complicated ones I've come across. Stories where, quote unquote, the monster, I'm not saying he's a total monster, he didn't kill anyone.
Luckily, by the grace of God, he didn't kill anyone, although I don't think that was his intention. I think his intention was property damage,
yes,
which he succeeded at.
I feel like I'm giving it away beforehand. I was probably just saying.
Okay,
he didn't kill
I think
anyone
the name Killdozer gives it away. People could infer what's coming. We don't need to keep it too shrouded in mystery.
But we don't know that that was his intention. Spoiler alert: he is the only one that died
by his own hand.
Yes. So I think it was property damage. I think there was something about that. However, he didn't know who was in the building, but we'll get to it.
I think there's a few people he wouldn't mind if they perished in his destruction, but his destruction was not, murder-based.
Yeah, I think it was just...
Right, I mean, because a lot of people could just get an automatic weapon and go into a crowd, right? Like, that's not where he was at. This was premeditated for years.
Yes, I think you're totally correct, Craig. And this is why this case is so fascinating. Like, yeah, he could have gotten a weapon and just like, you didn't like these people, which I hate that spoiler or not spoiler, sorry, trigger warning. That's a terrible thing to hear. And I hate that that happens in our country or anywhere.
But mostly in this country.
Yeah, we're not great. But we're also not a political podcast, but we're not good at that.
And this has nothing to do with politics. This happened in 2004.
But I do think his motive, in my opinion, but I would let you guys decide.
Well, it might have something to do with local Granby, Colorado politics. But beyond that, this is not a politically motivated story.
But I don't think he was intent on murder. I think he was intent on property destruction, which is that's why I said it's very bizarre. It's bizarre. Okay, we'll go into it. So, stories where, the alleged monster is a man who once fixed mufflers for a living. Stories where revenge is welded shut, reinforced with concrete and driven straight through the heart of a town that never saw it coming. Again, small town mechanic.
I don't think any town, even if this was New York fucking City, could have anticipated. This has nothing to do with the size of the town. This has something to do with one man's scorned willpower to, trick out a bulldozer.
You're giving it away already.
the name Killdozer. Is Killdozer. Clearly, it has something to do with a heavy piece of machinery.
Yeah. Okay, well, now that we're going off track, I will say this, because you said someone could go get a gun and, do whatever. That man that did, there's so many, school shootings, obviously, but I'm thinking about the Las Vegas shooting.
Yeah, probably, the biggest mass shooting on American soil, maybe, at least how many people could
I don't
have...
know. We've had so many. Yeah, it's so heartbreaking. And I'm so sorry for anyone that's lost
that's
anyone.
That's a wild story, too. And maybe we should cover it, because I have heard some things from particular individuals who have, certain credentials for me to believe that they have some intel about that. That's like, whoa. But the Vegas shooting is so tragic.
Yeah, but you're saying that was clear intent to kill. This seemed like clear intent property damage. Okay, we'll get into it though. So on June 4th of 2004, in Granby.
Pretty good date.
What? That's the day we got married. Oh.
Yeah.
Not in 2004 though. I just graduated high school. And
18
you were,
years later.
Yeah, and you were still in high school. Whatever. Beat it, nerd. Granby, Colorado is the kind of town where nothing ever really happens. And you can see that by going through there. It's not a flyby town. It's like a
drive-by town.
Yeah. There's so many cool historic. I'm not trying to make fun of Granby.
It's a place to get gas on your way to Rocky Mountain National Park.
Yeah. Because there's so many really cool historic towns in Colorado. And I love visiting them, like Creed, Cripple Creek, you know, Aguilar. You know, there's
this really place might have a history like that, but it doesn't seem like an old West town. It seems like a muffler balls. Shop town,
yeah,
vape emporium, couple
a dollar
fast
store,
food joints. Yeah, I mean, it's like,
we don't hate you, Granby, and we're sorry, but it just seems like, yeah,
you know,
a place to get gas, like you said. So it's a, but it is a place where everyone knows everyone. It's small, but maybe they don't really know who their neighbor is. Introduce Marvin Heemeyer. He was born on October 28, 1951. He was an American U.S. Air Force veteran, a welder, and an automobile repair shop owner who had major gripings with the town. But he was a working man.
He was a fabricator. That's the word I'm looking for. I think he learned some stuff in the Air Force. Like, when you're good at
weld.
What do you
mean by fabricator? That's what, like, you fix things?
Not only do you fix things, but you can kind of make metal parts out of nothing.
Oh, interesting.
Which is a key component.
That is a key component
of
for
this.
What he...
So, you know, don't piss off your local fabricator. Yeah, I think his repair shop, you know, mechanical engineering background played a significant role.
Interesting. Well, I believe it, and I hope I don't get it wrong, at the Think You Should Know podcast, the way they described, like, his, you know, kind of personal life, I don't think he ever married. But he had
a girlfriend.
A girlfriend, and he had a lot of friends, and he went hunting with them, and
yeah.
He was described as nice, affable.
Yeah, he was a regular guy. He was like a blue collar guy who was just like pissed off at the establishment that was also giving him a hard time. And it was kind of like a rich family involved that was the neighboring property or something, the concrete plant.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, so this is from the CowboyStateDaily.com. So there was nearly a three-year feud between the family that owned and operated the concrete company that was adjacent to Marvin Heemeyer's muffler shop. And for years, this family... Their concrete outfit had grown so rapidly that they decided to build a much larger facility that would boost production by thousands of yards of concrete annually. The site for the new operations was located just adjacent to Heemeyer's shop. But before they could build this new facility, the family discovered that They would have to produce all types of reports to town officials in order to obtain the building permit. One document after another was furnished, and just when it seemed that they were about to receive the town's blessing, they learned that Heemeyer had vigorously objected to the plan and managed to block its approval. For 30 months, the battle waged, until the project was finally given the green light. Following his defeat with City Hall, Heemeyer made a trip to California and one day appeared back in Granby. Then several days later, a used bulldozer showed up at his muffler shop with a for sale sign on it. The story was that Marvin had purchased the bulldozer at a West Coast auction sale and shipped it back home. Most folks believe that the old beat-up machine was just another trinket for Heemeyer to tinker on in his spare time. Soon after the arrival of the bulldozer, however, Heemeyer sold the muffler shop, and both he and the bulldozer disappeared from sight, leaving his neighbors wondering if he had simply left town with the nearly $500,000 that he received from the sale of his business. They could not have been more wrong. Marvin had not left town. He had just moved the bulldozer into his hideout and began fabricating it into what would later become a killdozer.
He worked on it day and night.
For two years.
Yeah, in the dark of night, in hideout, like you said, just outfitting it to become just a, killdozer. I don't know how else to say it.
An unstoppable juggernaut of destruction. And you got to understand that this is like, you know, after 30 months of going back and forth, he's trying to fight for his business. He doesn't want this giant concrete plant, you know, screwing up his vibe. For better, for worse, for wrong, or for right, I'm not sure who's right in this situation. And I've seen a lot of these battles, you know, happen between zoning and permitting and what the town wants and what one neighbor wants. And it's like one bad neighbor can screw your plans up. In this circumstance, he's that bad neighbor. But also I can see from his perspective, like, concrete plants are loud, they're dusty, and there was other things going on too that wasn't described in that article.
There's mental health stuff too. I don't think he's a horrible person.
I'm kind of on Marvin's side.
Yeah, well, I don't know whose side
was,
I'm on.
There
but,
was other factors. It wasn't just that this concrete plant was being built.
There was several townspeople that he was, and you know, the city council backed. He felt like they backed everyone but him. Yeah, and so he felt lonely, and loneliness can really hurt a person.
They actually say
that it takes loneliness takes as many years off your life as smoking cigarettes does.
Probably more.
You're lonely, you're festering, you feel like no one has your back. And so he's like, well, I know what I'm good at, and that's tinkering with things.
Yeah.
And he's festering and trying to seek revenge, which there's no excuse for it. It's a terrible thing that he did, but it is just psychologically,
years
we can
of your
all
life
understand.
Being kind of bullied, but by a local government type of...
Yeah. But that is the thing that people need to get over. It's like, sorry, I'm going to have an opinion here, and hopefully, be mad at me if you want. I don't care. Because I do believe in people's mental health, but it's kind of like an incel type behavior where it's like, oh, everyone's against me. At a certain point, you got to suck it up.
I think in this circumstance,
suck it up.
Everyone might have been against him.
Sure, but you're a grown man. Suck it up.
Well, I mean, when it comes to something you worked on your whole life, you know, like your business is being impacted and you've got these people with, why do they have the right? Oh, you're on city council.
He's not the only person that's ever happened.
Oh, for sure. It happens to people all the time.
It's very much too much. at a certain point, and my advice to any of my listeners is suck it up. You don't need to harm other people because you feel harmed. You'll be better off if you shine it on and do better. And then show them you're better in the end, because success is the best revenge.
Well, see, I mean, he might believe that he did show them that he was better, and his success was getting that revenge, and he did suck it up, and he sold his business. He threw in the towel. He gave up. He had to. He was forced to sell the business that could then only basically be a trash facility. And, I mean, think about it. Like, if all of a sudden your business is surrounded by essentially a dump, like, what are you going to do? You know, like, he was trying to protect his own. And then there's other factors. I remember people were screwing with him. Like, there was like a sewage thing, like a septic line, like that. I can't remember everything, how it all went down.
It's small town politics. And that
it was a lot of small town politics. And then I think like the small town newspaper kind of took the other side. And then,
oh, they definitely did.
There was just a bunch of different things where it finally felt like, I think he felt that
he felt bullied.
He was bullied, and there was a giant wall blocking him in, and he needed something very strong to push through it.
Hey, that is a beautiful way to say it.
And
because now I feel more bad for him, because I've been bullied in my life, and like, I just sort of went like, well, I'll just, oh,
there's just,
but I can see the feeling of like, I'm sure everyone that's listening, and you too, have been bullied before, but like, if it's like, yeah, it's your business, it's your major thing, like, I can see that feeling, and now I feel bad for him. He's complicated. This is a complicated story.
I get it. I mean, property lines are tough. You know, I've experienced a lot of it just being out here. I'm like, no, you can't have that right now. You're ruining my peace and serenity. You know, people fight hard for that.
That's true.
And then when you get a guy who's, you know, don't mess with the 50-year-old blue-collar man. Yep. Like, he is capable. He will build something to get
you back. He was in the military. Like, he can do shit.
Well, not just him. I'm just thinking, like, you know, our neighbors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Way down the way, they got big machines. They could bulldoze my house.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? And, like...
And, like, they're tired and they're over it.
Yeah. My old man, he'll rewire your electrical.
Yeah. It's true.
And they got nothing but time on their hands.
And they also have nothing to lose sometimes.
Exactly.
This man never married. Like, he didn't have, like, children. Like, he had nothing to...
Yeah.
He had nothing to lose.
Like Mark down at the shop, like, don't piss off the guy who can build anything and has got all the tools and all the time and all the parts.
Yeah. It's true.
You know? This is a lesson in that I think, like, hey, city council's everywhere. Be careful what old grumpy guy you're pissing off in the muffler shop.
Just don't hurt people's feelings.
Well, I mean, try to collaborate.
Yeah,
I'm not totally backing Marvin here either, but I just can see myself in his shoes a little bit, but I can't see myself inside of his bulldozer, which he reinforced with like 12 inches of concrete.
Yeah, so let's go into the bulldozer.
The build.
Yeah.
The killdozer itself.
So he spent all this time alone after he like shut down his shop, and he just...
He vanished to his garage, essentially.
Yeah.
No one even knew he was there, and no one knew that bulldozer was just behind a curtain inside of his garage.
He couldn't let it go. So he followed a path that mirrored any grievance. You know, he just couldn't let it go. There was the concrete plant, like we said, the city hall, the newspaper, the bank, the buildings tied in his mind to betrayal. They were all just like everyone... He was just hurt.
He had like kind of a manifesto with like over 107 people who had wronged him.
Yeah, well, this is the mythology that starts to creep in. Like, if you think that every like higher up, so if you're thinking like the newspaper, you know, the city council, the probably the rich people that own the, you know, everyone that is maybe better than you in his mind has wronged you, and you feel alone, you're, I don't know, it's, but he wanted control. So the Granby police were outmatched from the start.
Let's like explain what outmatched them.
Well,
I mean, this killdozer Okay, so the important thing to note is that he literally built a concrete shield around the entire cab of the bulldozer so that when he got in, he sealed himself in for good. He could never get out.
I think he meant to do that.
He certainly meant to do that, but no one else could get in either, right? Let's see. I want to see how much concrete, how thick it really was. I've seen a picture of it, and it's just insane.
And sorry, guys, if we're going off track a little bit, but some videos I was watching, like, in the midst of us recording, like, we've cut at certain points, and then I've rewatched other videos. It is... you have to Google it, and we'll post it to Seven Deadly Sinners podcast on Instagram. And thank you guys so much for listening. And maybe also to, if you follow the Patreon, it's the Deadly Pod, well, it's just Deadly Podcast on Patreon. It involves also the Deadly Diocese podcast, but we can post visuals there, but, you know, this is an audio-based thing, so we can't post it here. But
yeah, it was over 12 inches thick of 5,000 PSI concrete.
What?
Sandwiched between two
what?
Steel plates. There was no getting
just in the cab. What?
Yeah, there's no penetrating it, and they tried. 357.
I know I read that, but like that's really difficult to hear again. He wanted to go out the way he wanted to go out.
He added 9 tons of armor to the Komatsu D355A bulldozer, outfitted it with CCTV camera so he could see, because like there was no windshield, it was just concrete. And armor piercing rounds
over the windshield?
And grenades did nothing to stop it.
He yeah. placed concrete over the windshield.
Yeah.
That no, I didn't know.
Yeah, he was just driving by video camera.
Well, number one, he's actually pretty smart and savvy. But number two, in my opinion, this seemed like it was someone that wanted to take their own life type mission and go out letting people know that they hurt his feelings.
Well, these are some actual statements from Heemeyer. God built me for this job, Heemeyer said in his first recording. He also said it was God's plan that he not be married or have a family so that he could be in a position to carry out such an attack.
Oh.
And I quote, I think God will bless me to get the machine done, to drive it, to do the stuff that I have to do. God blessed me in advance for the task that I am about to undertake. It is my duty. God has asked me to do this. It's a cross that I am going to carry, and I'm carrying it in God's name. This is more of a Seven Deadly Sinners episode than I realized. I didn't know he did it in the name of God.
Well, my opinion has changed a bit now.
He might have been more wacky than we thought.
Yeah, I thought he definitely... Well, had a grievance, but it maybe seems like he had a previous, but I'm not an expert and I have no authority to say that, but I'll let you guys decide, but it does seem like there might have been a situation going on far longer
than
this.
Was a screw loose, it wasn't in his bulldozer, only his head. But yeah. I mean, to carry something out like this, like, yeah, it takes a man who feels like he's on a mission from God.
Yeah, there seems like there's
and this is
more the,
I mean, this
there.
Is a
but,
real Seven Deadly Sinners.
Yeah.
Wrath, but, I'd say.
But there are people, I mean, there's people that have done other podcasts. I should have reached out to them, but didn't have the time before we did this. But it really did affect people. There are people that felt like they almost died. I mean, he bulldozed over several buildings. I mean, he destroyed that town.
He leveled it. Yeah. Let's go through it. Let's go through. Okay, so it is June 4th, 2004, around 2 p.m. and Heemeyer finally unveiled his killdozer. And of course, the first place he's going is the Mountain Park Concrete Company, owned by the family that he felt had truly wronged him. And several employees attempted to stop the bulldozer by cramming objects into the treads, but that had no effect.
Jeez. Because he had really infiltrated it that much. Or, okay, just speaking to you, could you stop, like, if it wasn't, you know, outfitted the way he did, could you stop a vessel of that size?
No, this is like a tank. Not those type of treads, not a chance. I mean, they're designed to go through anything and everything in a war zone or a construction site, or unless you're really, 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 really prepared with a machine of equal magnitude to try to ram it.
Terrifying.
And so the owner of the concrete company initially thought that the dozer was under remote control, which makes sense because it's completely covered in concrete. Like, how could someone see and drive? You know, you're thinking they didn't know you had cameras inside the cockpit. And so he was firing a pistol at it, which obviously did nothing, and even attempted to climb on top of the bulldozer. Before, I guess he got his own front-end loader and tried to ram it, but that had no success.
I don't know why I didn't research this as much as you have right now, because hearing it, like, secondhand right now, like, I feel like my arms are going numb of nervousness.
Yeah, can you imagine,
like,
seeing this coming, like, after?
Fucking terrify me.
So quickly, a deputy from the sheriff's office arrives at the scene, followed by a Colorado State trooper who was fired upon. Apparently, there was gun holes that Heemeyer could shoot at. So he was shooting bullets. So we said he wasn't trying to kill anybody. Maybe we're wrong, because he would fire at anyone who attempted to destroy the cameras.
Maybe he was. Maybe it was kind of like the Las Vegas thing, and he just didn't succeed at it. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know either.
I hate the word succeed. Apologize for that.
Anyhow,
trauma warning for all of this, because it's traumatizing.
Multiple state troopers show up. Who are in a firing position that quickly just got demolished. And if they would have...
Well, they didn't get killed.
Well, their cars, right? They're like, yeah. You know, they're sitting behind their patrol cars, and they're quickly realizing, oh, he's not stopping. Ah! You know, you got to get out of the way. Plows through them. And then, so after he destroys the concrete plant, he turns his bulldozer to Agate Avenue and headed south towards the town, approximately 5 miles away. The officers at the plant requested a reverse 911 call be made to all residents in order to evacuate the town.
Can you imagine living in like a small... I can imagine living in Los Angeles, where we used to live, and having a killdozer just... through the town.
This is crazy. So, Sheriff Glenn Traynor climbed atop of the bulldozer and rode it, and I quote, like a bronc buster.
Good for him.
Trying to figure out a way to get a bullet inside the dragon.
He's trying to get in the rodeo.
He also dropped a grenade down the bulldozer's exhaust pipe with no apparent effect, and was later forced to jump down to avoid debris.
But he threw a grenade while he was on top of it. Wouldn't that explode, and then he would explode?
They say it's a stun grenade, so it's probably not that powerful. I'm not exactly sure what
this is. A war zone.
A stun grenade is... Oh, that's like a flashbang. So, like, it's non-lethal explosive. It's not...
This is a war zone.
It is a war zone, though. So, anyhow, Heemeyer, old Marv, is advancing to the town of Granby. And of course,
he hasn't made it there yet?
Well, he has now, and he sets his sights on the town hall.
Huh.
Which had been hosting a story hour for children in its library.
Christ.
When the rampage came to the town hall. All occupants were evacuated only moments before Heemeyer reached the building and an hour after the rampage began. Heemeyer turned the Liberty Savings Bank... where he aimed at the corner office where a woman who was a part of zoning. The zoning board had worked.
Yeah, he doesn't like the zone. He doesn't like any city. No code enforcement, no zoning enforcement.
So he's just leveling buildings. Yeah. Just taking them out down. The town. And the police are unable to do anything to damage the bulldozer or stop it.
Well, I mean, he was a pretty good engineer, apparently.
Apparently. This is Wikipedia. So instead, they resorted to following it, jogging alongside of it in mass.
Jogging alongside of it in mass. Okay, this was supposed to be my episode, not Greg's, but Greg has clearly done more research or something.
I just think this is fascinating.
Hearing new facts that I'm like, they were just jogging alongside of it.
I want to make sure our audience gets the full vivid picture of...
like, what that would be like.
I've seen less damage in Grand Theft Auto.
Okay. I would like my our listeners to... you know what? I'm going to do personal email because I don't check the 7 Deadly Sinners podcast at gmail.com, but you can email there too. Please email me at obrianrach@yahoo.com if you have any story that is... okay. I imagine
if you're from Granby, Colorado.
Okay, well, that would be, I mean.
Or if your town has ever experienced a killdozer rampage.
Well, I assume that, I mean, maybe I have some Granby listeners, but I want more like listener stories of like, I want to know what this town experienced. And I listen to other podcasts, like My Favorite Murder has their listener stories and they're fascinating. In any capacity, they're fascinating. I would like to hear more, and I will definitely pay attention to them more if they go to obrianrage@yahoo.com. But I want to know if like you've had any like crazy town story, like especially small town story, because in a small town, it really affects you more. And like when I say this town was small, it's small. I just can't imagine... I just can't imagine.
Well, imagine a bulldozer outfitted with 12 inches of concrete barreling down your street with a bunch of state troopers in unison jogging beside it as it takes out trees and traffic lights before moving on to the offices of the local newspaper, where he definitely had a vendetta to pay. And then he turned to the homes of certain families that he didn't like in their workplace. A scraper was brought in. He took out some people's homes.
Jesus. He was trying to kill some people then. Now I don't have sympathy.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A scraper was brought up to try and stop the bulldozer, but it was just pushed aside. Hemeyer then targeted a propane yard, firing 15 bullets at tanks, some which contained 30,000 gallons of propane.
So they did not ignite, though?
Luckily not. So he couldn't get a good shot. He couldn't get a good shot. And had these tanks ruptured and exploded, anyone within a half mile of the explosion could have been in danger. But he failed. He didn't blow up the propane tanks. So anyhow, he leaves the propane yard, was engaged by another scraper, which was similarly defeated. At this point, local authorities and the Colorado State Patrol feared they were running out of options in terms of firepower. They had approximately shot 200 rounds that had done absolutely nothing. He's just pushing other machinery out of the way that they tried to use to stop it.
Sorry to interrupt you. Don't you think it's strange that Colorado, though, in general, I mean, fairly nearby there, has like the most military...
Well, they're now... That's where they got to go next. Governor Bill Owens is called in and considered authorizing the Colorado National Guard to use either their Apache attack helicopter equipped with two Hellfire missiles... or a two-man firing team equipped with a Javelin anti-tank missile to destroy the bulldozer. So yeah, they're calling in the military.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm like Colorado Springs is it's a military town. There's whatever that thing in the mountain is.
I will say it also says in 2011, Governor Owens' staff denied considering using such a course of action.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
But
we retract that statement.
I mean, it was supposedly considered, allegedly.
Well,
else would you stop it?
I think a town would be in absolute panic, and I assume, and my heart goes out to them because there has to be PTSD like you can't believe. I mean, again, it sounds like a war zone. God, so the people from that town. This killdozer is coming towards your house, towards your place of work. I think it's, and I'm going to end on this. I think that this is a very much a mental health story where the people that experienced it are probably now, it's being passed on to them, you know?
I mean, how can you hear a bulldozer and not just freak out, you know,
house or your place of work? Like I would never forget that.
No, me either. Oh man,
it would feel
you could
like
never forget that
a war zone.
Heemeyer finally attacked the Gamble store, which he targeted because apparently the owner didn't back him up in like town hearings about the concrete batch plant. As the bulldozer slowly plowed through the building, one of the previous scrapers he had maneuvered onto the sidewalk behind Heemeyer's path, blocking him from retreating back onto the street. After which, the civilian operator exited the vehicle and fled to safety. Forced to continue forward, and unaware of a small basement on the property, Heemeyer was lured into driving into the building as a means to hopefully pass through it. However, the treads essentially got caught into the basement due to the immense weight, and he got stuck in the basement of this building. Essentially, finally, deactivating the machine after a nearly 2.5 hour rampage. The engine was leaking, and it became apparent that Heemeyer was not going to be able to move his killdozer.
Complete his mission.
His mission may have been completed. I'm not sure what he thinks. But anyhow, the killdozer was surrounded by a SWAT team. And around 4:30 p.m., they heard a single gunshot from inside the cab. It was later determined that Heemeyer had shot himself in the head with a .357 caliber handgun, officially ending the killdozer rampage in Granby, Colorado.
So, I believe this is a story, and thank you for narrating a lot of it, because
I didn't want to miss one highlight.
Yes. I think that... I mean, I think you knew more about it than I did. But yeah, in my opinion, I think this is a mental health story in many ways. the people that experienced it, like the hell of the PTSD that they must experience. I can't even imagine. Like I'm looking outside the front of our, like we have a garage glass door. And if I saw a bulldozer with cement around it and a man coming towards me in it, well, actually, you couldn't see him because the windshield, I would never be the same again.
It's like a slow motion car crash. Like,
yeah, I would never be the same again.
You can't stop it. And just something that you would never, in your wildest imagination, conjure up that would happen.
Yeah, that is horrible trauma. That's the type of trauma that sticks in your bones. And my heart goes out to the citizens of Granby. And again, like I mentioned earlier, that I know, I forget who it was. It might have been one of the journalists or someone has appeared on a podcast. And it's been very traumatic for them. It's traumatic.
Yeah, I'm sure you could never live anywhere close to a construction site again, or even hear a tractor coming your way without being a little freaked out. But hey, we did drive through the city of Granby in 2025.
It looked good.
And it looked good. Looked like a bulldozer definitely never went through it and leveled it. So, you know, to the people of Granby, way to go.
Yeah, you've
built
it up.
They picked themselves up. They dusted themselves off. They rebuilt. And check out Granby, you know?
It actually is cool. The area is cool. When we were saying it's like a drive-by town, sort of.
Well, it's not. Yeah, you got to understand, it's sandwiched in between some of the coolest places like Grand Lake and the Rocky Mountain National Park, Estes Park.
Yeah, and my like barometer for, and maybe I didn't look into Granby enough, but my barometer for cool towns is history. Yeah. And I just, maybe I didn't look into it enough.
Well, Granby's history was wiped clean in 2004, apparently.
Just for a bit.
And it's rebuilt.
Yep.
Rebuilt stronger, and
it looks great. I mean, it's a nice town.
Yeah.
And if anyone from Granby is listening to this, we're thinking of you, and I hope you've...
We're glad nobody died.
Yep. Well, besides...
Well, okay. Marvin had it coming to him.
It appeared that he wanted to, and this is where the mental health part comes into
No one else besides Marvin died. Yes. No innocent lives were lost, and that is truly a miracle in my mind. It's truly a miracle, and it makes you realize the most important thing about being human, none of this material stuff matters.
Exactly.
You lost your house, you lost your horse, you lost your... car, who cares?
Yep.
Right? You got yourself, you got your soul. You know, those are the important things, and it's a blessing and a miracle that no one besides Marvin lost their lives that day.
I completely agree. But if any of those people or anyone that's experienced a tragedy is suffering, and also clearly Marvin was suffering. I'm not diagnosing a mental illness necessarily, but like, call a friend, do something, walk out in nature, you know. And there are resources out there. There's a crisis line that you can call. Well, this is the Colorado one. It's 1-844-493-8255, but there's also national, you know, crisis lines that, you know, you're not alone. And you could feel free to DM us, call us. Like, no one wants to feel alone. And no one wants to make a killdozer. Although I would say he's resourceful.
Don't seal yourself in a bulldozer with 12 inches of reinforced concrete.
Yeah. Here's what I would recommend. Eat a lot of snacks and walk around. Thank you guys so much for listening. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.